It was more than just a play. Everybody except one guy saw the ball out and blew a quick whistle. And my biggest thing is referees aren't held accountable. Coaches get fired, general managers get fired, players get cut. Referees aren't accountable. And it's a shame. It's been that way for 40 years, and now that we got a new agreement, it'll be that way for 40 more years.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
My guy, Bruce Arians. I wish I could root for the Buccaneers, but I have a team. Arians is everything you want in a football coach. He's completely honest, right? Just annihilating the NFL officials there. He cusses like a sailor. He wears those cool hats. He refuses to eat roughage. And he basically admits to everyone that he's probably just going to die coaching. He loves it so much. Like, his health is totally at risk. That's why he retired. And he's like, this sucks.
I watched
He's like, I'll risk death. This is so boring.
I watched it on Real Sports. It's great. Actually, you know what? I'm going to make the proclamation.
You really should. He's a good guy to root for while he's here.
Right.
I'm not trying to be morbid, but he's just rolling the dice.
If they move on from Jameis, though, then I'd be off. So if they re-sign Jameis, I'm a Bucs fan.
God, I want to tell a story right now about you just blowing it last night, but we'll have to get to that after the Big Five. Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at 4. Number 5.
Big Five's good, but I'm telling you, be here at like 4:25. Adam's got a good story he's going to get annihilated for. Well, this again is your cup of tea. What happened with the Raptors? Who's a new VP?
The athletic trainer.
Wait, what?
The new vice president of the Raptors is their athletic trainer. A guy named Alex McKechnie.
Okay.
You may know him because he developed a term in the NBA.
Revolutionary term in the National Basketball Association.
He coined the term load management. He's the athletic trainer that developed that strategy of sitting guys. I mean, everybody talks about Popovich doing it, but he's the guy with Kawhi last year. He talked about it. He also worked with the Lakers back in the day. He was the one that helped Shaq through an abdominal injury in 97. He also is a native of Glasgow, Scotland.
Really?
Yeah. Athletic trainer, developed load management, stresses the importance of guys missing time and making sure they're ready and healthy for the playoffs. He managed Kawhi to a healthy enough position last year in the postseason to make a run. He's now the new vice president of the Raptors.
Because of load management.
Yeah.
Wow. I expected someone really young, but as you started going through his background, this guy's actually pretty far along. He was working with the Vancouver Whitecaps of the NASL. That's an old-ass soccer league. That was 74-82.
Wow.
Good for him. Good for him. For something as unique as load management, which, by the way, there are so many jokes.
Of course.
As like a near 50-year-old.
Can only go like once a week.
Yeah. Load management applies in other areas.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Good for him.
But I would say good for the Raptors, too, to say, hey, it's not an executive of some sort. It's not some business school guy. It's a guy who's been around the game, who's been innovative, who developed some things. Good for them.
Number 4.
Now, this one hit close to home because I used to be a Nets fan. Once KD is back, I'll be a Nets fan again. But the whole thing irked me. You know, they were New Jersey's team. They moved to Brooklyn. Early reports on Kyrie Irving, who I think we're all of the belief now, he's a buffoon for breaking up the Cavs the way he did. I know LeBron's a pain in the ass to deal with, but you had a great situation there. Maybe this explains it. According to Jackie McMullen, this was quoted on Bleacher Report, Kyrie Irving's, quote, mood swings are an unspoken concern that makes Brooklyn officials queasy. He's been there like 2 months. Already they're like, what's with this guy?
Well, I think
let me tell you, there's nothing worse than being around someone who's got these mood swings. You never know what's coming. Ari, shut up. You shut up. Yeah, a Nets source said an episode happened on their trip to China, leaving the team confused.
Do they not do their research on Kyrie? Like, this is the book on Kyrie. This is what he is. And now, I think a lot of people have spoken about, you know, mental illness and that sort of issues that Kyrie has dealt with. He's talked some about it. I think we all knew this about Kyrie. Now, I guess part of the problem would be that it seemed like he was turning a corner. It seemed like, you know, he came out, he had spoken about his responsibilities with the Cavaliers and what he had done to make that relationship fall apart. It seemed like he was facing a lot of those issues, but you're never really over them. And you don't
know, you're not.
You also don't know if this is mental illness or if it's just brattiness or what the issues are with him. But you probably should have known this about Kyrie. If you're going to spend a lot of money on some guy, you should probably understand what they go through and what their background is and what they deal with.
This is going to sound ridiculous. This is one of my favorite games in the NBA when I go through box scores and I'll look at certain guys and I'm like, what is he, like 27 now? And inevitably, he's like 22.
Right.
Because everyone's coming into the NBA when they're 16. Kyrie Irving's actually 27 now. So not that we're all complete human beings at 27.
Did
but
you
like,
think he was older?
I actually thought he was still younger.
Really?
Yeah.
He's been in the league for like 12 years. Well,
but like a story like this, you just feel like he's younger. Like he just still hasn't gotten it at 27.
I don't know. I mean, it's weird. I would love to know what the actual details are of the incident in China that made the Brooklyn officials queasy. What could it have been? Did he like throw soup or something?
Number three.
I was so waiting for you to go with something stereotypical.
No.
You just went with the plain soup.
An NBA stereotypical.
I figured you were going to go fried rice or something like that.
No.
Our boy Ku is back.
Young one.
The Korean-American kicker. I told you the last couple years. He was this close.
To making field goals?
To actually making kicks with the Chargers. That, but I'll tell you what. Again, I live with a Charger fan. The beginning of that season a couple of years ago, and Anthony Lynn is doing the same thing this year, was just infuriating with Young Wei Koo. And he's so likable because you hear him speak and you're like, my God, that's Barry White. He's got that deep power voice. These kickers are, you know, they're right on the edge. And you can always, as a kicker, you can always get it going a little bit later and then maybe turn into a Vinatieri and you stay around until you're like 45 years old. So I'm rooting for him. He's going to be with the Falcons. But the other great part of this story, is this true, the line you wrote here?
What?
About Matt Bryant?
Have you seen him?
How fat?
Are you not watching Falcons games?
How fat is he?
I mean, he got really fat. Hmm. Now, he was retired and old. He's like 57 years old. But he did not look like somebody who was in the kind of shape that it takes to play in the NFL. Now, I know he's a kicker. I get it. But I think, not that he needs to be in any kind of shape. You know, Janikowski forever certainly wasn't in great NFL shape. But Bryant was just noticeably bigger than he was when he was a more accurate and better kicker.
I like to do Twitter searches for certain terms. There's not a ton here, but there is a fat Matt Bryant. There's also a Matt Bryant, you have inspired me, a 42-year-old balding fat guy.
Right. Yeah, he definitely got big. I mean, listen, good for him. He made a couple extra bucks coming back. I think football is just not for him anymore. And hopefully, Young Wei Koo, with the spelling that has people making a lot of jokes about him.
Woo!
Young, it's more the Young Wei part.
Yeah.
Young Wei hopefully can move forward. And for the Chargers, they got Badgley back, it looks like. So maybe they can move forward and progress.
Number two.
Sticking with the NFL, last night's game had a very interesting moment. We're talking about the Dolphins and the Steelers. There was a crazy all-out blitz by the Dolphins, and the reaction on Twitter, you saw polar opposites. Describe the play, first of all.
So it was a 3rd and 22 from in their own range as the clock wound down.
This is the Dolphins on defense. Steelers have a 3rd and 22.
Yeah. They ran, I mean, you want to call it a zero blitz when there's nobody back for help? It was like a -2 blitz. Like, they basically just sent everyone, except for, I think there was 3 defensive backs that were back against 4 receivers. 2 ran straight to the sideline, which I can't explain that to you.
Right.
Like, I don't even know what that coverage would be or what the philosophy would be there. Another stayed with a receiver on the right side of the field, which just left the entire middle of the field wide open.
Steelers got it, right?
They not only picked up the first down, it was a touchdown.
That was the TD.
That was the touchdown.
To get him back into the game right before the half. So Lee Sterling, who's a big tout down in South Florida, said, Brian Flores and DC Patrick Graham need to be fired immediately. Who in their right mind rushes 8 people, 3rd and 20 from the 48-yard line? This is a total clown show. They can't win going forward with these two in charge. Another tweet. Dolphins couldn't defend that 3rd and 22 for a touchdown. What an embarrassing effort by a professional defense. You never see that. Then I saw people tweeting at the same exact time. If you notice, sometimes I'll just tweet when I see two differing opinions. I'll do it during fights. Then there was a boatload of people who were like, it's clear what was going on there.
They were tanking. That's what you do. Now, we talk about tanking all the time, and I don't think people fully understand what we're saying, because a lot of times we'll be on here. We've had this argument with NFL analysts that have been on the show, and I can't remember who we've done. It's been multiple guys. Herm Edwards was one who got mad at me about it, and other analysts have come on and argued about it too, and I've heard it all over the national media. When we say the teams are tanking, we don't mean that a quarterback is going out there saying, oh, we have to lose, let me throw the ball to the other team. They're not doing it that egregiously. In fact, players don't want to lose. The players on the Dolphins don't want to lose games. They don't care about draft. What, you think they care about draft picks to have somebody come in and replace them?
Yeah.
No. So that's not what tanking is.
So the only way you could do it is to be sneaky and put them in positions where they're going to fail.
Put your players in bad positions, positions where they can't succeed. And that is exactly what the Dolphins did.
I mean,
yesterday.
It was, I would say 80-20. 80% were saying that was a tank move.
Yeah.
And then the other 20 were flipping out about how stupid Brian Flores is. I heard your buddies, Mitch and Paul, this morning ranting about it, and they were saying that if there was a conversation with Belichick and Flores, Belichick would rip the crap out of Flores and say, what are you doing? That's not what I taught you. But they were tanking.
They're tanking. Yeah. That's what they're doing. And listen, it was a preposterous play. They just cleared out the entire middle of the field. Is it now? You can make the argument. Okay, somebody didn't get the signal. Something. I don't know. I can't explain to you why the one guy that was in the middle of the field just took off toward the sideline. I don't know. I don't get that. I don't understand what that was. I don't even know how to sit there and break down a film and say, well, here's what he saw here. I don't know. Yeah. He got out of the way. That's what he did. Now they try to make the tackle down the field because, again, the players aren't tanking. The players want to win. They want to do what they can.
Well, they want to stay in the NFL.
Right. That's why the coaches have to put them in bad positions and make sure that they can't succeed, and that's exactly what they did. So, bravo, Dolphins coaching staff. You did great. But, like we also talk about, do you all remember the end of the Redskins game that the Dolphins were playing in? Do you remember going for two and then calling a play that had zero chance of succeeding on the two-point conversion that would have won them the game? Do you remember that? That's what they were doing because the players were going to try to score. So all the coaches could do was call a terrible play hoping that it wouldn't succeed, and they pulled it off. Now, one caveat from last night, there was people pointing out maybe they should have gone next-level tank and tried to beat the Steelers because eventually the Steelers are going to be tied with somebody. And if they lost to the Dolphins, they'd fall down the pecking order in the draft list, and the Dolphins do have the Steelers' first-round pick. So maybe they should have tried to win to try to affect that Steelers pick that the Dolphins have, but that's way too next level.
Number one.
So I've been reluctant to jump into Adam's love of the tanking, but we got to embrace it, especially with the second half of the season coming up. So let's set this up, because the race for the number one pick is going to be insane. Super intense. It's going to be intense trying to lose. Yeah, yep. It is. Ready for this? So this is where we are right now for the number one pick in the 2020 NFL draft. Dolphins at 0-7. Then the Bengals at 0-8. Redskins 1-7. Falcons 1-7. Jets 1-6. Holy crap. Giants 2-6. Broncos 2-6. Buccaneers 2-6. That's 8 teams, right? Who needs a quarterback? Dolphins?
Yes.
Bengals?
Yes.
Would the Redskins pick back-to-back years, a first-round quarterback back-to-back years?
Well, I think they're going to let Haskins play some, because if he continues to play the way he has, then yes, they'll need a quarterback. In my mind, yes, they need a quarterback.
The Jets are not going to move off a stubborn position with Darnold.
No.
The Giants won't do it either, but I actually think the Giants need a quarterback.
So do I.
Which is why they should have just taken a defensive lineman in the first round this last year. The Broncos certainly need a quarterback. And the Buccaneers probably, if they let Jameis Winston walk. So we're talking about, six or seven of eight.
I don't think
needing a quarterback.
I don't think the Bucs are in this conversation. Okay. I actually think the Bucs are going to start winning games. And I mean, they really should be probably, 4-4 right now.
Yeah.
Certainly last week,
they're 2-6.
They won the game and it got taken away from them.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win some games here. And I don't think they're really in this mix, but they will need a quarterback if they move on from Jameis. I don't think they should move on from Jameis, but they could be in this conversation as well.
When have we ever laid out key games for a set of teams that have 0, 1, or 2 wins at the halfway mark? Never. We're doing it now because this is reality in the National Football League. Dolphins are 0-7. Here are the key game. Listen to this. The key game's on the way. They play the Jets twice. This week in week 14, they also get the Giants, and they get the Bengals. So, I mean, the Dolphins completely affect all of this, and they have to certainly lose to these teams if they want to ensure getting the quarterback that they want. Yeah. Right? Bengals play the Jets and the Dolphins. The Redskins have the Jets and the Giants. Falcons play the Buccaneers twice. The Jets, you know, we already talked about the Jets a little bit. Jets play the Dolphins twice. Bengals and the Skins.
Wow. Jets.
Go Jets.
Very influential team this year.
Broncos are effed. They have 0 head-to-heads against the terrible teams. Bucks play the Falcons twice, and the Giants are actually very much involved here. Redskins, Jets, and Dolphins. And I'm going to throw something out right now. Week 16. If they get there, Dolphins and Bengals play. Could both be winless. They have to flex that game to Sunday Night Football.
The Bengals are trying.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, they benched.
Week 16, I want to see the Dolphins and the Bengals flexed to the most important game of the week. We have to watch that.
It's a no-brainer to me.
It's a no-brainer.
I say move it to London. Put in a spotlight. I love everything about this game. I'm very excited about this. I was talking about this weekend, actually, that I actually proposed going. I think I want to travel to the game and cover it.
Yeah.
Because the draft's here. I think it's very relevant. I think it would be a very fascinating thing to watch. Now, the Bengals are like, you know what? We're coming too close to winning occasionally. Get that Dalton out of there. So that's what they did today. Yep. They're moving out. They want to make sure that they're not in a position to win. So Dalton's benched.
So dynamite.
It's fascinating. I love all this. By the way, all these teams need quarterbacks. They're going to draft quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Quarterback is not the best prospect in the draft.
No, not at all. That's why I said, I mentioned it with the Giants with the defensive lineman. If the Jets get the Jets are in good position here because all the other teams need quarterbacks. Yeah, I'll take Chase Young. Yeah.
Trade down.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't risk it.
Yeah.
I actually just saw a note the other day, a guy skyrocketing potentially to the top quarterback position. If someone takes his dude over Tua and Justin Herbert, look out.
Joe Burrow?
Yep. Here we go.
Go ahead and do it. Joe DeMarcus.
We just saw Joe Russell. We just saw
it.
Well, you know, as it turns out, so far the Mayfield draft has been really weird. So, but that came out of nowhere last minute.
Yeah.
That Mayfield went number one.
Yeah, definitely.
So don't put it past NFL teams to, you know, get all hot and bothered over Joe Burrow.
The Big 5 at 4. Brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We're going to talk to Mark May, I think, in just a couple minutes. Former Hog, Outland Trophy winner, longtime member with ESPN of the college football crew. But I do have to go back to last night. We were at Pizza Rock doing our Monday Night Football party. Been a little under the weather, so I was like, you know what, Adam, you host the show tonight.
Yeah.
We've been out there, not the show, but the party.
Right? Makes the fans happy.
Yeah. And you're a nicer guy. You're more friendly.
Sure.
Friendlier. And then I come to find out, did the big boss come in?
Yeah.
Tony Gemignani came in?
Yeah.
Pizza Rock guy? Come on!
I wouldn't have recognized him after somebody pointed out. I was like, "Oh yeah, that is him." I wouldn't have known, and I wish I didn't.
Oh,
I wish I never would have known.
So then, at that point, you're like, "All right, now when I get on mic and give away the prizes and tell my jokes, I'm gonna nail it."
Oh, I did a lot of crushing. I did a lot of crushing of the Dolphins. You know, I was like, the Dolphins, they're trying. And now we're going to try to give away some prizes. Like, whatever. Goofy nonsense. Yeah, whatever. I didn't do that.
Really good idea.
I didn't really do that.
Oh, you didn't do that?
I was throwing out Dolphins material or whatever. Like, which of these teams is the one that hasn't won yet? Like, you know, I'm trying.
Are we done at Pizza Rock?
Probably.
Okay. We'll be getting a call today. Who was the clown manning the microphone?
Well, then when I realized that it's him and he's there, I'm trying to make it like even better.
Yeah.
So, you know, I usually do the thanks for coming out to Pizza Rock, Monday Night Football. We're here each and every week. ESPN Las Vegas, giving away prizes, the great food, whatever. But then I'm like, why? You don't have to only come Monday. You can come anytime. It's always fun. I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing right now? This doesn't make any sense. He doesn't care. He's not even listening to what I'm saying. But I'm like trying to really, all right, let's come on out.
Why don't you just talk about the food? You're good at that.
Because then I didn't
just go crazy about the meatballs. You think you would have put your foot in your mouth on that?
You know, I'm so awkward.
What'd you
all
call
the time.
What'd you call it, the Detroit Red Top?
Big Top.
The Big Top.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like misidentifying pizzas.
I don't know what I'm doing ever. I have no idea what I'm ever doing. It's awful. I am so weird and awkward and just terrible.
But I
can get through it. Like I host the parties on Sunday. I do the one at Pizza Rock. I've done it before. No problem. But now that somebody that matters is there, not that you guys don't all matter, you all do, of course. But
see what that's it right there. That's it right there. We've got listeners coming out every week.
I don't know what you just said.
Now that someone matters has shown up,
this is your fault.
I wasn't feeling well.
You left me. I really wasn't.
Can you just clear the decks mentally for like 2 hours to host a freaking party?
No, I can do it. Just don't tell me somebody, and then I blame. Then, of course, you know we're obviously friends with all the servers there. They're awesome people. Love them all. They're great. But then the one that told me, I was like, "What did you tell me for?" And she was like, "It's not my fault." I was like, "Yes, it is. I'm dying out here. I can't do this."
Another choke, in a long line of chokes.
It never ends.
Adam Hill chokes again.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
Second and six, straight up the middle and reaching for the goal line touchdown. James Conner makes it in.
You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield, Adam. I was just telling Adam a story. I won't get into particulars of having a conversation over the weekend and having a coughing fit because I've been sick, right? And I really thought the person I was speaking with thought I was crying about our conversation, but I couldn't breathe. So, you know, today I was like, I need to just get someone on to talk about the flu. So I said to Ari, I was like, just get anyone. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I'll get Mark May, college football and pro football legend, to talk about the flu. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Great, guys. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. Well, I'm actually kind of sick.
Well, then you should get your flu shot. Everybody should get theirs. I had to go all the way to D.C., and I sat with Secretary Azar, made him go first, though, and got my flu shot. Had a great time and kicked it off for the Outland Trophy. I'm the ambassador for the Outland Trophy. And, you know, it's one of those things when you look at the facts, and when I finally saw the facts and read the facts that millions of people are infected by the flu every year, hundreds of thousands go to the hospital. They're sickened by the flu. And either thousands or tens of thousands of people die every year because of the flu. Now, look, the shot's not 100%, but it's going to be much more than not getting the shot, and it's going to be a lot better and healthier for you. And if you do get the flu after having the shot, it's not going to be as difficult and as distant as having it as bad as you can have it. It's going to lessen the blow. So I think that everybody out there should get it. I'm definitely a proponent of it, and obviously I got my shot in front of a bunch of people in Washington, D.C., so it was great.
I'm afraid to get the shot. Will it hurt?
Oh, stop. It doesn't hurt at all. The thing that was funny about it is when I go get blood for my physical and stuff, that hurts 10 times more than the shot.
I'll take your word. You're a tough guy, though. We're very wimpy here.
Oh, stop. I didn't even feel it. It was like one of those things they were interviewing me while the doctor was giving me the shot. I didn't even feel it. It's got to be one of those small little injectable needles. But, you know, it was awesome. It was a great time. I got a great chance to go to Washington, D.C. and New York and to promote this because it is very important. And you don't want your relatives, your friends, or your family or anything like that to die from the flu. So it's a great idea to get your flu shot.
That's Mark May, who's yelling at us right now. It's a very good spot here on ESPN Las Vegas. I want to do a little NFL and then definitely get into a little college football. Are you surprised that your former team, the Redskins, didn't really do anything significant in terms of acquiring some assets for their good players?
Absolutely. I'm shocked because not shocked as far as you would go that far, but I'm very surprised. And if you look at it this way, that, you know, this is a team, obviously, they only have one win on the season. They're going to have a new head coach next year. So do you go out and get pieces now, or do you wait until you get the new head coach in because he's going to put his system in, and his system might not feel the needs that you have on the football team right now, so he may want to go direction B where you're going direction C. So it's not that surprising, but, you know, I'm just shocked that they couldn't get some of their players, at least some draft picks, and move some pieces around. But that's Bruce Allen. He's pretty tight to the vest with that. He hasn't made many trades since he's been there.
How tough is it to balance a situation like the Redskins have where you drafted a quarterback early, he doesn't seem ready, you still have hope for him for the future, but at the same time you have to play him to find out if he's going to be the guy in the future, right?
Yeah, and what you should do is condense and limit the playbook. Start with just the basics and the basics fundamentals. If he can get those down, then you can increase the playbook as the season goes on. I'm surprised that wasn't done at the beginning of the season. They're saying, well, he's not ready. Well, that's your job to get him ready. That's why you're paid as a head coach. That's why you're paid as an assistant coach, to get that player ready. So when I heard Gruden come up and say, you know, he's just not ready yet, it's like, I'm thinking, it's like, that's what you get paid for. You drafted him in the first round. Get your butt out there and keep him after practice late and make sure you get him ready. Make him stay late for film work. Get him ready to play in the NFL.
Is what Gruden's really saying, though, he's not my guy? He's not the one I wanted?
Oh, absolutely. He wanted hands-off on that. They didn't want to pick him. Dan Snyder wanted to pick him because this is the bad part about it. His son went to school with him in high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so they were friends, and he's a local kid and a local product. But the problem is, with Dan Snyder and the ownership of the Redskins, he's always wanted to pick the pieces for the team. And when you look at Bruce Allen, the general manager, basically he's running the team. He sides with Dan Snyder, obviously, because he's the owner. Nobody in that organization will go in there and step in his office and put their foot down and say, look, if you want to win, give me a chance, let's do it this way. And nobody's had the courage to do that, and that's why each and every year they're just mediocre or worse.
It's Mark May with us. Mark, sit tight here for a second because I want to read this to the audience and then get your reaction. NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously to permit students participating in athletics the opportunity to benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness in a manner consistent with the collegiate model. What does that mean?
Not a lot. What it means is, as usual, the offensive linemen are going to get screwed. And this is why. Because all the big-name wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks, they're going to be able to get money and get paid. But the guys in the trenches that are blocking for them so they can get paid, so they can make their name on the football field, aren't going to get squat. So right now, they still haven't figured this out. There's a lot of things to do. They don't know exactly what they're doing. It's not going to get implemented until 2021 of January. But my question is it going to be the beginning of that year because they're going to have the playoff, or is it going to be at the end of that month? That's the issue. If it's going to be at the beginning of the month of January, the playoffs are going to be the first or second week in the championship game. Are those players are going to be able to capitalize on that the first week of January?
Are you in support of the players getting some more money?
Of course.
Well,
I'm
you
a
say,
former
but,
player.
Mark,
you
say
me?
That. There's so many former players who hate this. We got Dabo Swinney saying he might quit. It's not an of course.
Oh, stop. If you go back when Dabo Swinney was playing at Alabama as a walk-on and somebody came up and said, hey, I'm going to give you $2,500 if I can use your name and likeness, you don't think he'd have taken it?
Of course.
Baloney.
Yep.
I'd have been first in line. I'd have been running over the quarterback to get there.
Why do we see the pushback? Because we're both with you, obviously, but why do we see pushback from so many people that are, you know, through it and in positions of power that are now like, it's going to ruin the sports world?
Well, I think because football is such the team sport, it's the ultimate team. And the thing is, when you walk into the locker room, now you're going to have guys that are going to be jealous of other players on their team. As I mentioned, the offensive line and the other guys. Guys on the defensive line also. Kickers and punters also. Most likely, the star players are going to be able to use their name and likeness and make money off it. The other players that aren't stars that are contributing to the team aren't. So that's detrimental to the football team. How are you going to keep your team together in the locker room? All of a sudden, when you're walking out of the locker room, and I've got to take the team bus to get from the practice field back to the dorms where the quarterback's driving the Corvette. That's not going to hit it. And it's going to create a lot of problems with these coaching staffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few coaches decide that, you know, we're done with this. Maybe even a Nick Saban, that he's going to put his foot down and just say, I'm done with this. You know, I've won my championships. I've got enough money. It's like now I've got to go recruit, and I've got to recruit against different kids in different states. Obviously, you're going to do that anyway, but certain kids are going to say, let me see. I've got a great uncle that works in the Silicon Valley out in California, and he works for Microsoft or he works for Google or something like that or Amazon or whatever. And all of a sudden, Amazon wants to represent me. So if I go to USC where his boss graduated from USC, I'm going to get a better deal at USC than I'm going to get at Alabama. This is going to open up a whole can of worms. This is just the beginning of the problems of this. They don't realize. They think that the system is broken now between players and agents cheating. Wait until this thing starts.
So it sounds like you just talked yourself out of it, that now you don't like it.
No, as a player, yes. Okay. I do like it. As a former player, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But right now as an analyst, when I'm looking at the game, this could ruin the game, and it's going to be tough for coaches to keep their teams together.
That's Mark May. on ESPN Las Vegas. Well, let's handicap a little bit the stretch run here in college football. Right now, who do you think is the team to beat?
I still think it's between two teams right now. I love Ohio State. And believe me, I've never been a guy that would say I love Ohio State because they hate me, their fan base. But the way this team has played on both sides of the ball, Justin Fields has been phenomenal. And Chase Young will probably be the first player drafted. Everybody's saying it's going to be Tua or a quarterback. When you watch Chase Young play the defensive end for Ohio State, he is incredible. In Alabama, they go in there with their backup, Mac Jones. He goes 18 or 22 and throws three touchdown passes. They go 41 to nothing at halftime. That's how good Alabama is right now. So I think those two teams are the best two teams. I think LSU, they've got the best resume. But I think the best two teams that I've seen play thus far this year, Ohio State and Alabama.
This may sound like a stupid question because, well, they're winning. Can Clemson get it together? Do they need to get it together?
They just have to keep on winning. There's no way that they're going to be left out of the playoffs if they finish undefeated and defending national champions. They're a lock.
I mean, should they be? Should that be the system?
It's not the system, but if you look at what they've done and what they've accomplished over their season, and there's still a lot of football left to go. Because remember, when you look at the schedule right now, guys, Ohio State's got to play Penn State, which is a top five or top six team. Clemson doesn't have to play anybody. LSU has to play Alabama. And then whoever they're going to face in the East in the SEC championship game. So teams are going to knock each other off, and you've got Florida and Georgia one-loss teams that play each other this weekend. So there's a lot of football left, so there's a lot of opportunities for teams to move up. But the best two teams that I see, if Alabama gets by LSU, it's over. And I think Ohio State, I don't think there's anybody that's going to beat them this year in the Big Ten.
Not Penn State, huh?
No, I don't think Penn State can play with them, not on both sides of the ball. They're too dominant. J.K. Dobbins has been running the ball phenomenally. The offensive line's picked it up. This is a different team defensively than they've been in the past. And the way that this team's playing on both sides of the ball, this team may be better than Urban Meyer's national championship team at Ohio State.
Do you feel like the Pac-12 is getting a raw deal? Yeah, the team's lost at least one game, but Oregon and Utah seem like they're way outside of the mix.
Well, I've been on Oregon all season long. I thought they were going to beat Auburn, and they basically had that game and gave it away. But I think if Oregon continues to win and they get to the Pac-12 championship game and win that game, they just have to hope that a couple teams ahead of them lose. That's all they need is the domino effect to happen because a lot of teams ahead of them have to play each other, so that's going to knock a lot of teams back. So they're still going to have that opportunity to get there.
Who's the more dangerous wild card of the unbeaten teams, Baylor or Minnesota?
Baylor. Minnesota's going to lose three or four games before the season's over. You know, that's the team. They haven't played anybody, but they played well. And DJ Fleck, their head coach, has done a terrific job. They keep rolling the boat and getting it done, and I'm impressed in what they've done. But once they start playing better teams, they're probably going to end up with two or three or four losses by season's end.
Baylor's in control of their own destiny. They play Oklahoma and Texas. But I could also see if they had this magical run, they go unbeaten, that they could be on the outside looking in, a la TCU a few years back.
That's a possibility, but I think if they beat Oklahoma and they beat Texas and they're undefeated, I think they're going to get in. Because if you look at Oklahoma the last couple of years, they've been able to get in with one loss. If Baylor goes undefeated and beats Oklahoma, they get in.
I guess we'll find out, but are they any good, though? Is Baylor good?
No, they haven't played anybody. The only thing they've done is they played the opponents that they had on the schedule, but their schedule gets really tough in the month of November, and we're going to find out a lot about Baylor in November.
Mark, before we let you go, remind people here in Vegas how important it is to get your shots and take care of yourself prepping for the flu.
Hey, you don't want to get sick. You don't want to get the flu. Everybody out there, get your flu shot. It's really detrimental to the young and the old. And I'm going to be 30 for the 30th time again on Saturday, so I'm getting up there in age. So the reason why I got the flu shot is, one, I don't want to get sick. Two, I want to prevent getting sick, and I don't want my family and friends or my loved ones getting sick. So please go out there and get your flu shot. It's great for you. It's going to make sure that you get through the flu season a lot healthier than without it.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Have a good one.
There you go. Mark May, longtime voice on ESPN, was one of the Hogs, so he knows what he's talking about when he's talking about offensive line play. I wish he had more energy, though. Come on, bring it.
I'm still worn down from that flu shot.
That was great when he yelled at me.
Yeah.
I think Baylor's a really interesting case because I'm not sure that Well, I'm not going to go as far as saying Oklahoma's not going to be up for the game, but clearly Oklahoma is beatable. Texas is beatable. What if Baylor gets to the finish line unbeaten?
By the way, he's
wrong. And I should have argued. I mean, at this point, we're just speculating. But you're telling me that the second team in the SEC, if it works out that they've got one loss, they're not getting in ahead of unbeaten Baylor.
Of course they are. But I was just trying to
It's not even a freaking discussion. We know what's happening.
What do you think Baylor's best win is so far? I mean, I guess it'd be at Oklahoma State.
Man, that was really the one Baylor game that I sat there and watched.
I mean, they eked out a home win over Texas Tech, who's not good. They haven't played anybody ranked, obviously. They beat Stephen F. Austin and UTSA and Rice, which was a close game, a one-score game against Rice. A two-point win over Iowa State at home. They rolled against Kansas State, which may be the most impressive performance. I guess at Oklahoma State or at Kansas State is their best win.
And again, the schedule, you have it in front of you?
Yeah.
Well, you just read down. So what's left?
West Virginia at home should win. At TCU, probably should win. Then they've got that Oklahoma game, which is home against Oklahoma and Texas, the 16th and the 23rd.
Back-to-back weeks.
That's where their season's decided.
And you know that place will be a madhouse. They have this beautiful new palace that they built.
Yeah, and then they close at Kansas. So
it's such a, you know, in a way, I want to root for the part of the story that has Baylor getting screwed.
Yeah.
Because of the way college football is. But on the other side, I also don't want the fan base there that was fully, well, I'm not going to say they were all fully behind it, but much of the fan base was really cool with them being renegades, and it was really sick there for a long time with Art Briles with the sexual assault and rape culture and, you know, cover-ups and enabling from the coach to the AD all the way up to their esteemed president, Ken Starr.
It wasn't quite Penn State level, but it was a lot of gross things going on there for sure.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
World Series, game number 6. Coming up here in less than 7 minutes on ESPN Las Vegas. Mentioned earlier, I'm with the mattress dude in H-Town. Frankly, I'm going to win money if the Astros are going to make me miserable as one of the evil empires of baseball and win this thing for the second time in 3 years. So I may as well cash in.
Yeah, you got to.
Just the way it works.
Get yours.
I am gonna get mine. Ari was asking a question before the show, before we get to all the numbers. Today apparently it's just overall cat day, right? Because I think there was a National Black Cat Day in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is just National Cat Day.
Okay, and you're asking how I'm going to celebrate.
Yes.
You're going to buy them some stuff?
I cleaned up vomit today.
Okay.
So that was awesome. Nice. I was getting ready, and all of a sudden I just hear like...
So wait, did your cats go a little too hard on cat day?
You know what? I don't know what the SO did. Maybe she gave him a bunch of catnip and laced the water with a little vodka.
I was thinking turkey and shots, like a Thanksgiving.
I did give I gave one of the cats chicken last night, which I never do. I actually yell at the SO all the time. I'm like, stop feeding him! Why he's begging? And then I just turned around and did it.
Well, it's tough to resist sometimes.
So I went full Jason Feinberg because he's a big cat guy, Fox 5 guy. So I just started tweeting out all the cats in my life. Still have one more I think I have to send out. Maybe two more.
You have to find them to take the pictures?
No. These are old pictures.
Should I post a picture today? Because it's now that it's cold, the dogs have their sweaters.
I hate your dog so much. You baby them way too much.
Well, they're cold.
They're not cold. They're animal. Why do they need sweaters?
I will say that
Are they both short hair? One's short hair, one's not, right?
Well, the boy...
They both have hair!
The boy just got pretty much shaved.
Yeah.
What
do they go out for, like, 2 minutes? It's 55 degrees!
Yeah, they come in shivering. So then...
Oh, God.
When I pulled the sweater out...
Just throw water on them. Toughen them up.
When I pulled the sweater out, the boy basically... Like,
By the way, how mean was that? Just ice him up a little bit.
The girl, like, she doesn't really have time for it. She's like, what are you doing? Don't put a sweater on. The boy... Like, raises his arms, like, let's go. I need a sweater. I'm cold. It's pretty funny.
I mean, it's you're out of control. Seriously.
They're very cute.
Yeah, our one cat's an outdoor cat. And when it was super windy the other day, like, the cat will start to run out and then hits the wind. And he's like, okay, I don't think I want to go. And I'm just like, nope, you're out.
Nice.
You got to remind them, they're cats and dogs. They can toughen out.
I need to kick cats out all the time because I would be very allergic, so I just have to be
kicking
them
out the door. But we're talking about your dogs and how much you baby them with the freaking facial scrubs and pup cones and sweaters.
Well, they like their puppuccino.
Exactly. I forgot about the puppuccinos.
Yeah.
Tough guy on the radio.
You know what they got sad about was when there was a custard place over on Southeastern that closed?
Stop doing this.
They loved that place.
I'm sure.
They would give they would give them little pup cones. Now they, you know, it's tough to find them anywhere.
Do you want to keep going with this?
No, I will stop and get them a puppuccino today. It's cold, though, so maybe they'd rather have something warm.
Latest update on Game 6. I've had enough. Minus 175, Verlander against Strasburg. Strasburg back at plus 160. You can play the run line either way, plus 120. That's -1.5 runs. With the Strohs, and +1.5 the other way. Minus 140 with Strasburg. I saw a big or a popular bet today is first inning run. I think a lot of people are expecting Verlander to have some difficulties because he's been not good in the World Series.
Which
no run in the first inning is minus 145. I saw that. What's the show called? Daily Wager.
Yeah.
One of their best bets was a run will be scored. At least a run will be scored in the first inning.
Jumping on that?
Nope.
Okay.
Not going to do it.
Fading it?
I decided not to fade it. The price on the no that I could get was too high. Like I said, it was minus 145. NFL update. Raiders, you surprised by this? -2 favorites against the Lions at home. Now, think about this. The Raiders' wins this season are against Flacco, Brissett, Chase Daniel. Losses against Mahomes, Cousins, Rodgers, and Watson. They can't beat elite quarterbacks. Matt Stafford, what is he?
I think he's just below elite. So we'll see if they can deal with that second tier. That second tier of quarterbacks. They got a big week coming up with Stafford and Rivers back to back. I think they're both kind of in that same zone.
You think, huh?
Yeah.
Stafford on the year, it's 2,093 yards, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That looks elite to me.
He's been pretty good.
Fifth in the league in QBR. That's elite.
Well, I don't think you can judge if somebody's elite based on, you know, a 7-game stretch compared to their entire career.
He's also got one of the worst records in elite quarterback history against other elite quarterbacks. Stafford has had trouble winning those games. Updates from an injury standpoint, anything on the offensive line, especially at center?
We'll find out a lot tomorrow. You know, obviously we'll be up there 11 o'clock for practice tomorrow in Raiderland, and we'll get to see who's out on the field or not. There wasn't a whole lot of updates. They did add Las Vegas, Brandon Marshall. They were on the lookout for a linebacker. They needed to bring somebody in. Couldn't address it in the trade market, so they did re-sign Brandon Marshall, who was there before the season and during training camp. It was kind of a surprise late cut, and now he's on the way back.
That's kind of a cool story.
I'm very excited to write that tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, giving away your scoops. Not really a scoop.
The team announced that they signed. I would imagine that everyone that is quote-unquote competition knows exactly what we're writing about.
Scoop
tomorrow.
Was the wrong word. You got me.
Yes.
Your angle.
Yes.
People are stealing... True. Your angles.
Yeah.
Yes. World Series Game 6 coming up. Ion Gaming brought to you by our pals at Born and Raised Las Vegas. And in Henderson, you got football game specials on Bud Light, Mick Ultra. Bucket specials during the games on the all those beers and Bon and Viv, Spike Seltzer. Remember, 2 happy hours, 3 to 6, Monday to Friday. And now late night? None of this midnight to 2 stuff or 11 to 1. 6 hours!
Wow.
Hello. I know we're going to meet up at some point. Midnight to 6 a.m. late night happy hour, Born and Raised. That includes all the beer specials plus sliders are 6. And the bar bites are 6 overnight. 2 locations, Las Vegas and Henderson. Born and Raised, World Series on the way.